There we go.
Okay. That's a lot better.
Can you say something?
Noel Anzi Shura. I'm awesome.
Okay.
Okay. So can you say your name again and what year you are?
My name is Noel Anzi Shura. I am a fourth year at Enya College.
So we're just going to jump right in. What are your feelings on the POC culture on Antioch's campus?
Wait, before you say anything, I have to fix this. Sorry, it's like acting. Okay.
This is a very deep question. I feel like, you know, when it comes to when we need each other, we're there for each other. But
what is the question?
I feel like it's a strong culture. I think, can you describe what actually that means?
It's okay just to have like a stream of consciousness. You don't really have to have like a, well, black and white
to give. No, it's more to give like, so the culture in what way, like what? I might have just a conversation with y'all. Okay. You know, I would say we've come more together the more students we have, you know, because, you know, I came here 4 years ago and we only had a few. So, and the women of color, we would talk more about what's going on with us, but wouldn't say we joined with the men of color. We didn't start the POC group until the second years came, you know, the 2017ers. And I don't know if we felt like it wasn't necessary or to join with the men, but we met when we felt like we need to meet and talk about things that are going on with us. And we knew it had to do with our identities, right? Especially our, you know, color. And so I would say the culture has changed the more students we have that are POC. And I would say it has become stronger and it has strengthened our own identity. And I would say my identity has been really, I won't say enlightened, you know, that's a weird word to use, but I would say the 2017ers had helped me love myself even more. You know, it's like, it's not like I didn't love myself, but recognizing there were some things in me that I was dealing with, you know. When you hear one of this, I would say, Kebese, like, I love dark people. And I'd never say that. I'd never mentioned that from my mouth. It never came out. But hearing her say it made me think, like, Noella, why don't you ever say that? So it came back to my conscience, like, why, you know? Because I never really, I don't think I ever thought about more of my skin color, but I always think about what is my spiritual color, you know? So if it's a pure one or it's a dark one, it's a weird concept, because when you think of pure, you think of white. Right? Because that's what the color has been used. White is pure, black is evil, per se, right? And I think that's really the problem. Wow, I'm jumping to something else. But like, the reason that a lot of people are afraid of dark people is because the concept of pureness and what is scary. Dark is scary. Because when we're going through problems, depression, we say it's a dark place in our life. It was a dark period. And when you hear that, you think about, so now people of color are darker, the darkest, right? And then there's that spectrum when you think about dark versus light, you know? So, gosh, that's way off of this question. But, like, I would say the 2017ers helped me be really conscious of like how I think about my culture and like more specifically my color and how it's seen, right? Because it affects how I deal with other people and how I react to issues and all these other issues that are really important that I sometimes just brush off to, because I don't probably want to deal with them, or I don't see them as important, or whatever the reason is, or that I don't bring to light. So I would say the culture has, going back to the question, the culture has really been strengthened. Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking a follow-up question on that, mm-hmm. two follow-up questions. The first one, I think you've kind of said this, but I just like to make it slightly clearer. Mm-hmm. So you believe that POC culture on campus is a very positive thing?
Well, within the POC, you know, there have been problems. We know that whoever knows, whoever doesn't know, I don't know. But, you know, there have been, the culture has not always been strong. But I think we strive for that. You know, I want to strive for that on my end. I want to say, like, when there was trouble, I was like, we cannot blame the white for our trouble. We could need to fix it within our community, right? So I wouldn't say it has always been strong. We're striving for that. You know, doing this action today, those POC who still go to class, we're not to, you know, segregate ourselves from them. It's just saying that's what they need to do. That's what they need to do. But I would say, like, I'm seeing people who I don't see here during meetings. See, I would say we're striving for that. And it's not easy, because I'm one of the people also in the POC who was asked questions like, why are we doing this? Like, what is the importance of missing class? And, you know, what if this leads to you being behind in classes? Will you blame the teachers? Will you blame the white people? No. What will be the reason behind why you failed? So it's like asking those questions, not per se like because of this action, but for every problem that we face as POC, you know, is there that self-accountability of like what we choose to do too, you know?
So would you describe it's okay. Would you describe POC culture as something that's integrated within our campus, or a subculture, or perhaps even like a culture that is separate from Antioch?
I would say, you know, before the issues, you know, what was going on with, you know, the letters that were led for women of color, you know, those big problems that came up, I would say there was no particular culture that would say, oh, this is the POC culture. I think it was integrated, and people weren't considering, oh, these are the blacks, these are the this. It was just, we're part of ENIAC. I think when issues started arising, that's when it was more of like, oh, we need to actually make sure we're cultivating our culture too, even more strongly. So in my eyes, maybe I wasn't paying more attention, but I usually strived to make sure, you know, we do not separate ourselves from the community, but we're part of the community, and if we need that safety net, we take it, and it's mm-hmm. okay to take it and not feel that we're taking ourselves outside the culture. But we are part of the culture, but we are all our own selves too. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to move on from that, if that's okay. Hold on. Technical difficulties. Do you mind if... Could you hold that? Would that be okay? I'm sorry. Thank you. Stop judging me with that face. No, you're being so professional. Okay. Okay, so actually this might still pertain to what we talked about, but what kind of social constructs, let me say that again, what kind of social constructs do you feel add on to racism specific to our campus?
I think in general, being ignorant of what others are going through. And because if you really don't know what another person is going through, you will judge that person based on what you've been taught, right? What what your culture, your own culture is. Even within our POC culture, we all don't have the same background. So even if we are of the same identity, we don't have the same background per se. So it's like racism is really drawn into that, like, side of privilege. I have this privilege, and it's hard to see what's going on in somebody's life who doesn't have the same privilege as you do, you know. So it's hard to see, to look backwards if your goal is to move forward. So that's really the social construct with anything, not just with racism, I think with classism and, you know, all these really different isms. If you have the privilege, you're looking forward. And if you're only looking forward, you're really perpetuating that racism. Like, you're giving that idea of racism, like, I have power, so I will continue to have power, because power, if you have powerful, you want more power. So really that social construct is based on that. I have power, I have the privilege to do all that I want to do. And why would I look back if that will stop me from moving forward? That possibility of losing that power. Yeah.
Do you believe that that is a prevalent thing here at Antioch, that people were ignorant to the women of colors, kind of things that happened, or not just instances in which, like, there have been attacks, but just, like, the kind of story of them?
What I believe is happening with those who are being ignorant about the issues is because they don't realize the impact that those individuals have to, you know, have when these things are going on with them. So it's really, sometimes they don't know what to do. Like, what do I do about somebody being threatened? And I don't know how to feel about it. You know, then there's been issues of, like, you're white, you don't know what's going on. So they shut up. They really shut themselves up. Because that has happened here at ENIAC. Being, you know, if you're white, you don't know what's going on with POC. Which, you can be POC and not know what's going on with POC too, right? So really what's going on is, it's like one is they've been shut out. They've been told, you're white, you don't know what's going on. So they're like, okay, I'm not going to deal with this. I don't have time to deal with this. So at ENIAC, it's, again, time has to deal with those taking place of that ignorance, right? It's like, I have other things to do, so I'm not going to deal with this. And really knowing how to deal with it. How do I, what do I say? What do I do? If I do something, will that make it worse? You know, so that ignorance is really, it's based on so many variables. And that's why people are like, I won't step in. I won't do anything, so I don't make anything worse. But in that way, there is something not speaking to can create that problem. So, yeah.
No, that was really great. Thank you so much. This next question is going to pertain to, like, what we're doing today. Mm-hmm. And clearly you maybe feel a little bit conflicted, and feel free to voice that. But if you could just explain this action that's happening today in your own words, and why you believe it's necessary or maybe not necessary.
Well, today the POC group decided to do a day of disappearance. It's very interesting to me because I don't like to make myself disappear, because we've been, you know, in society, we've been made invisible, like our thoughts, our skin color, even though it's so vibrantly there, mm-hmm. it's not seen as important. So when we called it the day of disappearance, I was like, ah, I was like, I don't want to disappear, you know. But I saw why, you know, I read and was talking to them about it and, you know, seeing like, why are they doing, wanting to call it that, and why it's needed, right? That was my next question. Why just a day? To make it effective, I was like, let's disappear for a week, you know? Because, you know, if we want people not to know that we're not here, a week is a start. A month, that's big. But, you know, we were like, they started talking about, you know, our purpose, our objective is not to miss classes, you know? So we chose Tuesday because Tuesday is, you know, most students don't have classes, but some do too. So for me, I was thinking, you know, if we want to make it more effective, let's disappear for a week or a month or, you know. So because when you notice them, when students don't go to classes, that can happen without, you know, a lot of them disappearing. So I was thinking, how effective is it? But in the end, I was like, I don't need to understand why some POC need this. I just need to come and support them. I don't need to disappear per se, but I need to be there for those who feel like they need to disappear in order for people to understand what's going on, like we're serious about the issues that we brought up to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was really why I showed up, to support whoever needs support. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, as you know, like, this is kind of in protest to, like, some of the administration, and just because we're trying to institute, like, a POC hall. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like a POC hall is necessary on a small liberal arts campus like Antioch? Why or why not?
That's an interesting question, because I went through this. I was like, why do we need to segregate ourselves per se? But again, I don't feel like I need it. But for those who need it, mm-hmm. yes. That's all.
No questions asked?
No. Because, you know, I'm like, I need a woman's hall because I need it. So being questioned about why you need it is not something that...
It's a little bit accusatory.
It's accusatory. So if somebody says, I need this hall, then okay. There's no issue in that.
Do you think the administration should have taken that perspective of it?
Yeah, yes. I believe so, because, you know, it's not about them. It's like about creating a culture in which people feel comfortable. And the POC group would not really ask of this if these issues of, you know, letters being left in front of doors, you know, somebody being accused of taking too much space, you know, all these little problems here and there, which are really big, you know, if they had not happened, I don't think POC could have pushed for that. Mm-hmm. But they are happening. They are real problems. They are real issues on campus. And if the POC group feel like that we need a hall to feel more secure, yeah, they should be given that.
Do you believe that this is an issue of comfort, or do you believe it's an issue of safety?
I would say both.
Comfort and safety.
Yeah, because I wouldn't say, like, me being in a POC, for me, right, like, I wouldn't say I need it, but I want it. Like, I want to be around my POC folks, you know? There's a different kind of feeling that you have when you're around people who don't judge you in a certain way. You know, everybody judges, right? But there's a certain type of judgment that you want to be free of. And I feel that when I'm around my POC folks, it's like I'm free of certain judgments, right? And yeah, it's an issue of comfort and safety net for some folks, right? So we know there was those problems. So yeah, for both.
Do you think this is a form of self-segregation?
I think it's a form of self-protection, not per se segregation, because they're still part of the, you know, campus community. Because would we say the women's hall is part of self-segregation? No. We're only using that term because it was part of, like, slavery and what came up, but would we say if we have a queer hall, you know, all these different identities, like, would we say that? We wouldn't. So it's about self-protection and self-comfort and, so, you know, like the wellness of the soul and the spirit and intellectual mind. Because if you're not well within, you cannot study. And we know that, you know. So it's about, you know, how would you call it, self, not endurance, but, you know, just to keep yourself going in all aspects of your wellness, your well-being.
Self-sustenance, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Sustenance, whatever.
That was very well put. Thank you.
Yeah.
So clearly we've had a reaction from faculty and staff about all of this. Like, we've requested of some things. Mm-hmm. What do you believe is a necessary reaction from them if it hasn't been reacted accordingly already?
I would, you know, faculty and staff didn't know much about this, right? Until it happened and until community meeting, right? So now that they know, I would expect them to address this in classes and to really put the culture into every course that we teach. You know, I've talked to this about with other faculty members, and I was like, you know, even though it's a math class, there is culture that you, who's textbook are we using? Why did we use this textbook? And, you know, all these little things, like, when did this scientist learn about this? Who was the first POC scientist, da da da? And, you know, like, why was it? Why did it take so long for the POC scientists to be recognized, and all these little things, you can incorporate that easily. It's just the time. It takes time. And it's not easy because when you have a syllabus, you want to keep going. You have a rhythm. But if you have to change how you teach, it's different and you have to learn. I would say it's easier for the social sciences, because I believe that it's already incorporated in it, but the sciences is more difficult, but it can be done.
Do you think that this should become a necessary step within our comprehensive education system?
Oh, yes. 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 Yeah, one story for, I don't know if I could do this, but Kemler, my chemistry teacher, at the end of our course, showed us a video of Julian. He was a scientist who, crap, I forgot what he did. But he was a POC scientist. Let me look it up. Percy Julian, that's his name. You edit this, right? Okay, good.
A lot.
Good. You can pause.
No, it's okay. It's just going to be... I'm just doing one tape per person, so it'd be easier.
Okay. Percy Julian.
Are you interested in being interviewed?
Huh? Go on.
We're like, for, like, our POC, what we're doing today.
She's going to run away. No, she's not. Percy Julian. He synthesized something. Let me... It's a long name, that's why.
It's okay.
Okay, I'm gonna read it now. So Kemler, my chemistry teacher, he showed us the class a video of Percy Julian, who was the first African-American chemist to synthesize cortisone and serine. He was a pioneer who worked to synthesize cortisone, which are drugs and all these different types of, you know, he worked hard. He used like mechanisms that we had learned in class. And I was so thankful to see that he showed an African-American who is well known for contributing to the scientific community. And that was so big, very big for me. And I told Kemler that. He didn't understand at first. He was like, oh, thank you. But he didn't understand. I don't think he understood. I'm not going to say that he didn't, but I was so grateful to him that he showed that an African-American. He did it. I think he just was showing it, but at the same time, it was big for me. It was an organic chemistry class, and he incorporated culture into it. And I was like, oh my goodness, African-American, smart, telling me, Nola, you can do whatever you want to do, you know. And I will never forget that, never. So, yeah.
So one last question. So there was a time in Yale Springs when it was a hub for cultural diversity, and there is a very big Japanese population.
Mm-hmm.
African-American population.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of Antioch. It was because this was a hub for diversity and culture.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, you know, as Antioch is being born again, mm-hmm. right now, he rose again, sorry. as Antioch is being born again, do you think that that is something that could be put into motion? And do you think that, because like you said, that's a very doable thing. Do you think as part of the Antioch movement that created this move, that created the school again, do you think that's a place we could be headed?
Yes, but difficult. You know, on one end, we're trying to make sure we're sustainable, right? Because we need money. But also we give scholarships. So in a way, there has to be a balance. You know, there's a possibility, which I would hope for, but also it's that right now, I would say back then there was money to bring all those students in and create this wonderful diverse community, right? But at the same time, right now we're young. It will take years, but it's possible. And as you know, we're our budget. You know, we're cutting budgets. And scholarships will be hard, you know, to obtain for the new incoming students. And, you know, I hope for it. You know, I want that to happen here. Because it's when you have diversity in whatever, I don't want to use manifestation, but in whatever manner that is, diversity of color, diversity of gender, diversity of sexuality, diversity of religion, you know, all these different diverse, you know, backgrounds that everybody has, right? It creates the maximum growth of individual intellectually and spiritually, emotionally, you know, all these culturally, right? So I would certainly hope for that. Is it possible? Yes. Is it? Will it be hard? Yes. Because it takes much openness and not ignorance. Like, if ignorance is still part of it, it'll not happen. But it takes openness to create that culture. Because it's taken 4 years for us to get here, you know. So it'll take more years, I would say. And it's fine. That's fine. As long as people are still open to the idea of creating a culture that is more diverse in whatever manner that is.
Yeah.
Thank you.